Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we all continue our worship service with the singing of Psalm 271, the stanzas 1 and 2. Of mercy and of justice my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises my song shall rise to thee. Within my house I purpose to walk in wisdom's way. O Lord, I need thy presence. How long wilt thou delay? Psalm 271, the stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read the whole chapter. We mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we will read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. He mentioned to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For what that are, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them with glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that faithful covenant-keeping Jehovah, that almighty creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast in thy infinite wisdom and in thy mercy and in thy abundant grace through thy Son has thought of a way that thou could be just and the justifier of the ungodly. And in thy infinite wisdom thou hast thought of that only way where a holy, just God and unworthy, hell-worthy sinners, unworthy of any of thy blessings, enemies, could be reconciled unto thee. Lord, again, on the first day of this week, on thy day, in thy mercy and goodness and long-suffering patience, we and our children, as a congregation and visitors, may enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy everlasting testimony, thy precious word. Lord, thou hast given yet that our lives have been extended in spite of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. We may yet be in the time of grace. We may again hear thy law, and may it be a lawmaster to lead us unto that only Savior. And we may hear of the gospel of him who knew no sin and who was made sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. O Lord, as we may have gathered together in thy goodness, may we beg thee for thy presence. Lord, pass us not by. Do not deal with us according to what we deserve because of all our sins. We were all conceived and born in sin, and by nature we are totally depraved. There is no good thing in us at all. We are enemies. We are born with our backs towards thee, and we have no desire for thee. There is none that seeketh after thee. There is none that doeth good, and that is us and our children, also the children that will be baptized. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would yet look upon us in mercy through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, who sits at thy right hand. O Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. We beg thee then, Lord, come. Come among us and work mightily, irresistibly, by thy word and spirit. Lord, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, we beg thee that today, that they may receive life from above, that they may be born again, regenerated, and that their eyes may be opened, their spiritual eyes, to see who they are before Thee, a holy and just God, who can by no means clear the guilty. Lord, we all know we are born in sin. We all know we are lost. We can even confess that with our mouth. But Lord, we fear for so many of us that has never become a reality, that has never become a truth, where we cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, where we are never led to that place to cry out, what must I do to be saved? We have never felt that separation between our soul and an almighty God. There has never been a longing, a thirsting to be reconciled with our Creator. There has been never any true sorrow for sin, no hunger and thirsting after righteousness. O Lord, we beg Thee, do above all that we can think and ask. Lord, it's Thy work. Thou art the only one who can renew hearts. Thou can give spiritual life. Thou can renew and draw unto Thyself. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, turn sinners unto Thee, and they shall be turned. Draw sinners, Lord, by those cords of love, and they will run after Thee. Lord, remember also poor and needy sinners, guilty sinners, lost sinners, those who cannot find the way. Oh, bring them to an end of everything from their side, that they only end in the midst of death. And reveal unto them that only way through Thy dear Son, who knew no sin and was made sin. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, today, that Thou would draw poor and needy, guilty, lost sinners unto Thyself, and through Thy word and the sacrament, that they may hear of that precious Savior who came to this world to seek and save, who came to this world to fulfill the law for transgressors, who came to this world to be that sin bearer, to be that redeemer, that mediator for lost sinners, to bring them back into that reconciled state with the holy God. Lord, bless Thy word and the sacrament, the gospel that may be heard, but also the gospel that may be seen through the water. Oh, give open eyes, spiritual eyes, not only to see our filth and who we are, but also through that water may we see that precious blood, that blood that we read in Thy word that cleanses from all sin. Oh Lord, wilt Thou be the applier of Thy word and sacrament by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be food for poor and needy sinners. Lord, Thou knowest all our hearts, all the cares, all the needs, all the riddles, all the questions. Thou knowest those who need instruction, those who need reproof, admonishment, those who have gone astray. Lord, bring them back. But Thou knowest also those poor, needy sinners that have no comfort. Oh, comfort them with Thyself through Thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we beg Thee then, look upon us in mercy and give those blessings that can only come from above, from Thee, a triune God, in whom there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Lord, wilt Thou then remember the parents who also desire their children to be baptized and must answer the questions. Lord, wilt Thou give them grace and give them help day by day also to fill the promise that they will make. May they do it with a knowledge in their heart, incapable in self, but needing Thee to be taught, to be led, to be guided by Thee, and to be helped by Thee day by day. Lord, remember us all as parents. We all stand guilty again as we hear those promises that we have made in baptism. Lord, forgive our many sins, and yet may we beg Thee, bless our children under the means of grace in our homes, in school, but also in thy house. Lord, give them new hearts. Work what thou hast promised to work in the hearts of sinners of thy dear people in that covenant of grace. Lord, remember also those when they see children baptized who mourn because of a loss of a child, or mourn because they desire to have children, or other children which have gone astray. Maybe also children that they have not seen for a long time. O Lord, we beg thee, remember each one in all our cares and needs and sorrows and crosses. Lord, give comfort. And thou art that almighty God. Thou can bring prodigal sons and daughters back unto thyself. Lord, remember all the mourners. Comfort them, the widows, widowers, those who have lost children, siblings, a parent, other relatives, or a friend. Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Care for them, Lord. Help in all the cares and needs for the body and for the mind. And Lord, wilt thou sanctify these callings that come unto us. Lord, that we may hear thy voice. Thou art speaking. Prepare to meet thy God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, prepare us by thy grace to meet thee. Oh, wilt thou bless thy word, and may there be born today in the hearts of sinners an urgent need to be reconciled, but also to teach that way and to apply that way unto the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg and pray and ask thee to look then upon us in mercy for all our needs, for our souls, and for our bodies. Lord, help all thy servants today throughout the world in the established congregations, but also through all mission work and evangelism among Jew and Gentile, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners would be born again, and that born again sinners may come to hear of that only name, that precious name whereby we must be saved, the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we beg and pray thee, bless then also the efforts of mission locally, also in prisons, but throughout Canada, throughout the world, but also, Lord, may we beg thee to bless thy word richly also in Bolivia. Help all thy servants there. Remember also Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers. Care for each one of them, Lord. Richly bless thy word. And we pray that thou would also provide for that need in Peru. Lord, incline the heart of a man whom thou hast taught by thy grace of death in Adam, life in Christ, and that his heart may be inclined and bound, and that he may come forward and say, woe is me if I do not present myself to also to serve the Lord in this area. Lord, conquer hearts, open doors, and provide in thy mercy for a church worker in Peru, but also for a church worker in Bolivia. Thou knowest the needs, Lord. Have mercy. And Lord, we beg and pray thee then that thou would give then in this morning, that thou would give a blessing upon word and sacrament. Lord, give ears to hear. Enlighten our darkened minds. Open spiritually blind eyes to see who we are, to see who thou art, and reveal unto us thyself, that only precious Savior, through the word and the sacrament. Lord, we beg and pray thee, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Give all that is needed. Give much prayer, Lord. May there be no expectation of any man, but may our expectation be alone in thee, the Almighty, covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah. Lord, remember us in thy mercy. Give Aarons and hers. Give sighers and criers and beggars and pleaders at thy throne of grace, and that thou would come among us, rend the heavens, and give those blessings from above. Lord, wash and cleanse us then of all our many sins. Wash us in that precious blood of thy dear Son, and cover us with his righteousness, we beg and pray and ask in his name alone, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of baptism. And if you'd like to follow along, you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained new parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our mind and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and then thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them, as we read in Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I please ask the parents to rise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which are taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, where your parents of, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Father Van Voort, what is your answer? Mother Van Voort. Father Bai. Mother Bai. Father Stubby. Mother Stubby. Parents, the Lord has blessed you with healthy children. What a wonder. He has spared the life of mothers. He has given you a child. The Lord has given you a child. And yet, that child, listen closely, is not really your child. They belong unto the Lord. What do I mean? Listen closely. They were born under the administration of the covenant of grace. God has separated you and your children from all the other millions of children upon this earth who do not hear the word of God. He has separated you and your children, and he has a right. You must baptize your children because they already belong to God in the outward way of the covenant. And that's not enough. They need to become his children by his grace. They need to be born again, as we read in this form. They need to be forgiven their sins. They need to be made holy. That's what you need. That's what your children need. And who can do that? What is the Lord teaching you and all of us in baptism? He is saying, I am the Almighty Covenant Jehovah. And I am willing, but more, I am able, but even more, I shall save my people. So we hear what we need. We hear that He alone can work in us, in our children, what we need. And then we read in that prayer. We read, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ. So what does that teach us as parents? What does that teach us as fathers, office bearers of the church? What does that teach us as grandparents? What does that teach us all? It teaches us our great need that we need to be born again. We need to be washed and cleansed of our sin. We need to be made holy. Otherwise, we cannot come into the presence of God. We need to be reconciled with Him through His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it also teaches us that we may cry unto Him, the one who can work in the hearts, your hearts, the hearts of all of us, the hearts of our children, that we cannot work at all. So may we become, you as parents, I hope already, even before your child was born, or for your other children, that you may become what we read, we beseech thee, that you may become, and that we may become as parents, beggars at the throne of grace, Lord. Our children need to be born again. Our children need to be washed. Our children need to be forgiven. Lord, my own heart and soul needs the same thing. We beseech thee, and that we may look unto Him, that almighty covenant-keeping faithful Jehovah, who will save His people. And may the Lord bless the sacrament of baptism. No, not just to these parents. The sacrament of baptism is done in a worship service. It's for the whole congregation. Look then, congregation, boys, girls, teenagers, adults, look to that water. The Lord is speaking, you are filthy. You cannot come into my presence as you are. You need something. What do you need? What that water signifies. That water points to that blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse the most vile and wicked sinner. May the Lord bless the sacrament and His word for His glory, for the salvation of sinners. Let us sing now from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3, while the children are being brought in. And after baptism, we will sing Psalter 425, stanzas 5, standing. So 283, 2 and 3, and after baptism, Psalter 425, stanzas 5. Oliver Judah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lena Elizabeth, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Emily Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Close in thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thy only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase, and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Let us now sing together from Psalter 283, the first four stanzas. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 283, the first four stanzas, and the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the school target fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, who speaks to us in the sacrament of baptism? Maybe you say, I only heard answers this morning of parents. Maybe that's the only voice you say I heard. Who's speaking? The Lord is speaking. That almighty, covenant, faithful Jehovah, He is speaking. He is saying, I am willing to save unworthy sinners more. I am able to save even more. He says, I shall save my people upon the merits of my Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father works by the Word and Spirit upon the merits of His Son, and He will save sinners. Salvation is of God. That's the good news. Salvation is of God. And God calls and sends sinful men to be ambassadors to proclaim that there is salvation. And through the Word and the Spirit, God reconciles sinners unto Himself. He sends ambassadors to be those messengers of good news. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So Paul speaks about ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Ambassador must speak on behalf of someone else. A government has an ambassador. Ambassador goes and speaks to others on behalf of their government. And every ordained servant of God is called to be an ambassador of God. They must bring the word of God. Ambassadors of God are sent to sinners, sent to enemies, to those who only have their backs to God, to proclaim unto them the word of God. What is the message that an ambassador must send? What's the message especially that we read in 2 Corinthians 5? Well, at the end of the chapter, we read five times one word, which is repeated. They're not sent to proclaim all will perish and go to hell. That would be just. God would be just if He would cast us all away because of our sin and because of our iniquity. But what's the message, especially that we read at the end of this chapter? Reconciliation. God sends sinful men and calls them to be ambassadors for Him, to send them to proclaim a message of reconciliation. That almighty, covenant, faithful God, against whom we have sinned and continue to sin, He still sends ambassadors to proclaim a message of reconciliation also this morning. And may the Lord richly bless it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again, and that poor sinners that have been made alive may be led to the only place of reconciliation in His dear Son. And so our text for this morning, as you can find in the Word of God, from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So far from God's Word. The theme this morning is, be ye reconciled with God. As we read at the end of verse 20, be ye reconciled to God. That's the theme. Three thoughts. First, the author. the author of reconciliation. Who's speaking? Who brings this message to you and me this morning? Who's the author? Second, the urgent need of reconciliation. There's an urgent need for all of us to be reconciled with God. And I hope if you have not been taught it by the Holy Spirit in your heart, it's become real, that it becomes real this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then our last thought, the foundation of reconciliation. What's the foundation? So, be ye reconciled with God. The author of reconciliation, the urgent need of reconciliation, and the only foundation of reconciliation. And keep your Bible open, please, to 2 Corinthians 5, because we will be considering different verses from there. So the author of reconciliation, remember what I said about an ambassador? An ambassador must go and speak on behalf of someone else to proclaim the words of the person that he represents. He can never add something. He can never take something away. He cannot give his own opinion. No, he must speak on behalf of the ambassador. And every ordained minister, as an ambassador, that sinful man must proclaim the word, thus saith the Lord. An ambassador. And then I think of Canada's ambassador, Bob Rae. He is called to speak on behalf of the Prime Minister. And when he goes, for example, to the United Nations, all those that listen may trust and hear his message as it comes from the Prime Minister. It's as if the Prime Minister himself is speaking in that council. But now an ambassador is called to proclaim the word. The word that we read in these texts. But who's the author? Who is the author of the message of reconciliation? Is it Paul? No. He's an ambassador. It's not his message. Who's the author then? Is it God? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is it? Let's look in our Bibles. Let's look at some verses in this chapter. Let's look first at verse 18. And we read, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Let's read verse 19. "To wit, that God was in the world, reconciling the world with himself." And verse 20. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were beseeching you by us." So who is the author of reconciliation? Children, teenagers, adults, who is it? It's God, the Almighty God. What a wonder, what a marvel that the Almighty, infinite, holy God that we have sinned against sends a message of reconciliation. But maybe you say, but wait a minute. I read something in verse 20. Is this not a message from Jesus Christ? Because we read in verse 20, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ." How do we explain this? Is it from God or is it from Jesus Christ? Is it important? It is important. But even more, congregation, it's a comfort. It's a deep comfort from whom it is, who the author is. I would like to give you a little illustration. Imagine you as a young person. You come in conflict in your home. You come in conflict with your father. And you cannot live in the same house no more with your father. And you go to live in another city. You're separated. There's a distance. There's a problem. There's a separation between you and your father. And maybe you've lived there for some months, maybe a year. And then one day you hear a knock on your door. And you open the door and there is your brother. Your brother gives an invitation to come home. He wants you to come home. And you say, that's nice, but it doesn't really give a comfort. Why? Because you want to hear from your father. You want your father, that separation between you and your father, that becomes a pain. And you want to hear from your father, that your father, that you have that problem with, that distance with, that he himself would want you to come home. But then your brother says, I'm here not on my behalf. I came to bring this invitation to come home on behalf of my father. But then you say, but what about that difference? What about that great debt that has between me and my father? And your brother says, I have paid for it all. And you see then in that illustration, God is the author. And through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid that debt, there is reconciliation for absolute unworthy sinners. Congregation in paradise, who did we sin against? Who did we sin against? We sinned against God, our Creator, that Almighty One, that highest heavenly being in the heavens. We offended Him at His heart. Have you ever confessed that? Has it ever become real? As David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. And the very God, that Almighty God that we have sinned against, He is the author of reconciliation. He sends the message. He sends the message through His word this morning. God the Father is the author of reconciliation. What a wonder. What mercy. What love. What long-suffering patience of an Almighty God. Natural man never ever of himself would seek and ask for reconciliation. We are just completely fine living completely in the world as a prodigal, or fine with our self-made religion as a Pharisee. Man never would ask for reconciliation. But God, that almighty covenant-keeping, faithful God, He sends. Reconciliation is initiated not by man at all, but by God. It flows out of His heart. God the Father thought of a way that He could be just and the justifier of the absolute ungodly. And He sends a message of reconciliation. God is the author. It flows out of that overflowing fountain of all good. God the Father. God sent His Son. What do we read in John 3 verse 16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ was sent, why? To do the will of His Father. The will of His Father. And He said that very clearly in John 5 verse 30. For I seek not my own will, but the will of Him that sent me, that of the Father. Jesus Christ spoke on behalf of His Father, sent by His Father, and spoke on behalf of His Father. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. And so reconciliation between God and His enemies was and is from God. It was His plan from eternity. And that plan will be fulfilled in eternity. This is a message of the whole Bible. The whole Bible is a message of reconciliation between enemies and sinners with the holy God through His dear Son. He already revealed it in Genesis 3 verse 15 with that first promise. He revealed it through the sacrifices in the Old Testament, especially in Leviticus. And that blood pointed, that sacrifice in the blood pointed to blood for atonement, to reconciliation. We read in Leviticus 17 verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And you can translate that word atonement, reconciliation. So God, it flows out of the heart of God. God is the author. It comes from God. And through His word we may hear it through the Old Testament and throughout the whole New Testament. God is the author of reconciliation. And this morning we also have the sacrament of baptism. It speaks, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But He's proclaiming a way of reconciliation through His dear Son. Be ye reconciled with God. So you heard it. Has there ever been an urgent need in your heart? An urgent need in your heart to be reconciled. And that's our second thought. Be ye reconciled with God. Reconciled means to be brought back in a right relationship. It implies there's separation. There's a great distance. Be ye reconciled with God implies that we are not in a right relationship with God, with our Creator, with an almighty, holy, heavenly being. That we are separated. We're in a broken relationship. And as I said, man doesn't seek of himself to be restored. But God is the author. And he wants you to hear it and that it becomes an urgent need in your heart and in your soul to be reconciled with God. Did God create us this way? Did God create us in a broken relationship and a great distance between God? Were we created that way? How is it with Adam and Eve? In paradise, they didn't need reconciliation. They were in a relationship in perfect communion with God. But Adam fell. Adam sinned. Adam rebelled. And we are all born from that moment in a broken relationship. And we need to be reconciled with God from that very moment. Every boy, every girl, also these babies here that you saw baptized, also their parents, also you. We are born in a broken relationship, separated from God. No, we are not born in a good relationship. We are not just born sick that we can fix it ourselves. No, we're born dead in sins and trespasses. We need to be brought into reconciled state with God. And why is there such a distance between a sinner with all his sins and God? What do we read in Isaiah 59 verse 2? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And I want to ask you a personal question. No, not just these parents. Each and every single one of us. I want to ask you a personal question. Has there ever been in your heart an urgent need to be reconciled with God? Has there come in your heart and in your life that you felt that I am separated from God? I'm lost. I'm sinful. There's a great distance between me and my soul with God. Has there ever come in your life a great need? Have you ever felt this? Has it become real? Not just in your head, but in your heart. Has it become a pain? It's painful when parents are separated from their children. It's painful. They want to be together. But it's a pain in the heart of sinners that is made alive that they're separated from God. They long for reconciliation. And Paul, he was preaching to sinners. He was teaching sinners who knew that they would die one day. And that they would die, and that they would then also stand before God. We read in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul knew that. And I also know that and feel that every single one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, one day you and I will all be stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How will you stand there? How will you stand there with all your sin? You will not be able to stand there, my friend. You will not be able to stand there with all your sin. There will only be one answer. God will only be unto you if you die in your sin in an unreconciled state with God, without Christ, without his righteousness, without his blood. You will only meet a God of wrath, of consuming fire. And Christ will return, and we will all of us, we will all stand before his throne. And we will be separated, the sheep from the goats. And how will you stand? Those that are not reconciled, those that are without Christ, without grace, in their state, natural state, as they've been born, they will only stand there in terror, and they will beg for the mountains to cover us, the hills, the rocks to cover us. Why? For the great day of his wrath is come. who shall able to stand? Do you hear your urgent need? You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And how can you and I ever stand before him in all our sin? Paul knew this. He knew every single person that he was writing to, that he was preaching to, had an urgent need to be reconciled with God. He felt it, as we read in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul knew the terror of the Lord, and he persuaded men. And Paul's heart, as we read in verse 14, was constrained by the love of Christ. His heart was captured by the love of Christ. And in that heart, that new heart that Paul had, that was constrained by the love of Christ, he loved Christ, he loved God, but he also began to love souls. He saw every soul as a soul to eternity. And he saw every soul that would perish in an unreconciled state, he would be forever lost. And so Paul, constrained by the love of Christ, he was moved to do everything in his power to persuade those boys, those girls, those men, those women that he preached to. You must be reconciled with God. He saw it was urgent. And may the Lord also give me such a heart of such love, constrained by the love of Christ for each and every single one of you and for your soul for eternity, and that I may do my utmost to persuade you, to compel you. And I know I can't, but I must. It's my responsibility. But my hope is through the preaching that the Almighty God, who will work by power and by spirit and to bless his word, that sinners would be born again and become absolutely lost, and that there would be urgent need. I must be reconciled. What a responsibility of ambassadors to say, thus saith the Lord, be ye reconciled with God. Ambassadors, they must not add anything. They must not subtract anything. They must simply preach the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. But let's read verse 20 again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we read, as though God did beseech you by us. Let's pause there for a moment. God beseeching sinners? God exhorting earnestly, entreating sinners? Be ye reconciled with God? I think of the leper came beseeching before the Lord Jesus Christ. We can understand that an unworthy sinner would fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and beg him, I beseech thee, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We can understand why we read in that prayer, we beseech thee, O Lord, in baptism, with that prayer, we beseech thee, incorporate our children into Jesus Christ. We can understand that. But God, that almighty holy God, who can righteously pass us by, he beseeches, he begs, he entreats. He entreats, yes. What a wonder, what mercy, what grace. See, we sin against the law, and we sin against the goodness of God in the gospel. We're just completely sin in everything. Listen, God is speaking through his word. Be ye reconciled unto God. God's voice, God's message, not mine. What a wonder. What a wonder. He seeks. He proclaims reconciliation. And he beseeches. But he will do more. He will bring them also. He will bring it with power into their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit through the outward preaching of the gospel. You must be reconciled with God. If you die without that, you are eternally forever lost, my friends. Forever lost. You must be in a right relationship with God. What do we need to be in a right relationship with God? What do you need? What do I need? We need to have the law completely fulfilled. And we need to pay for all our sins. And now may I ask you, can you? Do you even have a desire to keep His law? Do you have a desire to be restored in a right relationship with God? May I ask you, have you tried? Are you trying because God, the Lord poured love in your heart and you want to serve Him? You want to obey Him? And have you found out, I cannot keep the law at all. I'm only prone to all sin and evil. And do you know you have nothing to pay the Lord? He must be satisfied. His justice must be satisfied. But you have nothing? Is that you? Have you been taught? Has there come an urgent care, a need for your soul to be reconciled with God? Because He poured love in your heart. And there's love back to Him. And have you tried? And are you working so hard? I hope it comes to an absolute dead end. And has it come to a dead end? Can you say this morning, I don't know the way no more. I need to be reconciled. I need to be brought in a right relationship with God. But how? Is that your question this morning in your soul? How can I be just with God, with that Almighty God that I sinned against? Is there a way? Is there a way? Yes, there is a way. But before we go to that, let us sing for a standing. Psalter 142, 1 and 2. 142 stanzas 1 and 2. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. Psalter 142, stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. be ye reconciled to God, the author, God himself, that covenant, almighty, faithful Jehovah is the author. But has there come an urgent need in your heart and in your life for reconciliation? Or are you just fine confessing the doctrines, confessing the truth, defending yourself, comfortably lost? Yes, comfortably lost on that Broadway that leadeth to eternity. Or have you been, by God's grace, awakened? And in your heart has come a longing, a desire to be reconciled with God. And your question is, what is the way? What is the way that a poor sinner who has nothing in himself and who cannot pay, that only remains sin, what is the way? But that's what we read in our last thought, the foundation of reconciliation. What is the reason why ambassadors sent by God have a message, be ye reconciled with God? How can an infinite, holy, and just God ever be reconciled with such absolute, unworthy, filthy, polluted, wicked, wretched, hell-worthy sinners? How can God be just and the justifier? How can he be reconciled with such sinners? How? What's the only way? Is that your longing? I need to know the way. Have you tried for some years? Are you still searching? What's the way? Let's read some verses again from 2 Corinthians 5, where we hear clearly what the only way is and in whom is the only way. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Verse 20, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So do you hear it? What's the only way? In whom? In Jesus Christ. He is the way. He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto my Father but by me. Because if you try to come unto the Father without him, he will only be an absolute consuming fire, and you will absolutely, eternally perish. And that's painful from our flesh, because by nature we are so proud, we want to have our own way. And even after grace, we try to find ways in ourselves by doing this, by doing this, by trying to keep the law, by living so properly and correctly, by being so religious, by being a Pharisee, or other ways. But there's only one way, and that means we have to be stripped of absolute everything and become just absolutely lost and become just absolutely ungodly. And that's the last thing a sinner wants to be. But that's the best place to be. That's the best place to be. With nothing. Just an ungodly one. That I cannot please the Lord with anything and absolutely of myself anymore. Nothing. That I cannot present to him anything. Why? Because that's the place. That's the way the Lord makes room for him to receive all the honor, all the glory, and he makes room for his own dear, precious son that he delights in, and he wants him to be cherished and loved and to be exalted by wretched sinners. And so he takes everything away. He gives life, teaches, and takes everything away. So there comes only one way, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. It's painful for the flesh, but so profitable and precious for the soul. Because he who has Christ has life, and he who has not Christ does not have life at all. Let's now read verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What is the only foundation of reconciliation? Jesus Christ. And we read, he who knew no sin. Do you hear it, sinner? You who have nothing but a mountain of sin. He has no sin. He came to be the law fulfiller for law transgressors, for those who have a mountain of sin. He came and he fulfilled the law. He knew no sin. He never sinned once. He never broke one commandment. He never had one sinful thought, word, or deed, or affection. He was infinitely pure. He knew no sin. He had no experience. He had no experience with sin. He didn't know what it was to sin against God. Do you hear him? That's the one you need. That's the Savior you need, sinner. That's the one who can stand in your place. He came to stand in the place of sinners, of him who knew no sin. But then we read more. For he hath made him to be sin. Who made him? Who made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin? God the Father. God the Father made his Son to be sin, who knew no sin. The Son of his delight, his eternal delight. He made him to be sin. Jesus Christ was not symbolic. It was not a figure as we read in those Old Testament sacrifices. No, it was real, literally. Jesus Christ came to be the Lamb of God. He came to stand in the place of a wretched, hell-worthy sinner. He came to give his life. He came to give his blood. He came to give everything. Oh, you see him there in that Garden of Gethsemane? He was fearful and extremely sorrowful. Why? Was he afraid of what man would do to him? No. He was especially considering what the Father was going to do him to make him sin, that the Father would take all the sins of all his people, all their transgressions, all their iniquities, and place it on him. Oh, he trembled because then he knew his Father couldn't look on him in favor anymore. He who knew no sin was made sin. He became sin in the sight of his Father. And we read in Isaiah 53 verse 6, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's him. He's the way. He's the foundation. And he on the cross became that sacrifice. And God the Father looked on that sacrifice and he was well pleased. And because he's well pleased, those arms that would forever remain closed can be opened to receive the chiefest of sinners through his dear Son. Be ye reconciled with God. God is the author. God provides everything. God works in the hearts of sinners so they become urgent. So they have a need. And he strips them and leads them unto his own Son. He provided everything. He provides that work of the Holy Spirit. He provides his word. He provides the message. But he especially provides his Son for that only way to be reconciled with God. Because where he was satisfied, there his heart can open. Open for sinners who have nothing. Sinners who are unrighteous, filthy, lost. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in him, and in him alone, sinners who have nothing are made righteous. Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. And those who are born again, taught of their urgent need, led to that only Savior, he's revealed, they hear of him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, also believe in him. Take refuge to him, are covered by him, hidden by him. God the Father looks upon them as righteous, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. It's by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, through the scriptures we hear it alone, and it will be to the glory of God alone. And what a wonder what we read in the word of God, that his righteousness is imputed unto them. What does that mean? That means he has taken, as we said, all their sins upon himself. And his righteousness is imputed unto them. So he takes all their sins, all their iniquities upon himself. And he has paid it for his dear beloved people. And his righteousness is imputed, put on their account. And they are righteous in Jesus Christ. What a wonder. What mercy. What grace. Salvation is of God. And he proclaims, be ye reconciled with God, in God, through his Son, the only way that he has provided, and may the Holy Spirit apply it. My friend, are you still dead in sins and trespasses? Confessing the truth, no urgent need. I hope you go home and the Holy Spirit applies it now and you go home lost. And you cannot live no more until you may know on good grounds of the only hope of being righteous in Jesus Christ that you have no rest until you're hidden, covered by him. Are you trying to be righteous? Are you a very self-righteous Pharisee? No, we wouldn't confess that. We would never. But is that your heart? Listen to what we read in Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. And those men were so righteous, but lost. Why? Because they were without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But in Jesus Christ, as you read in Romans 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Dear child of God, listen. God treated his Son, Jesus Christ, as if he had lived your life so that he could treat you as if you have lived his Son's life. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg and pray thee richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again, convinced and convicted that they are unrighteous in an unreconciled state, and they must be reconciled or they will eternally perish and only experience the eternal wrath of an almighty, holy, and just God. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would also bless the precious word, the gospel, to poor and needy sinners. May they not only hear of the way, but that they may see the way by that eye of faith, and give that only rest that is in thee through thy Son. Lord, apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Comfort poor, wretched ones. Oh, may they have seen it this morning. May they taste it, that they may go home adoring thee for thy glory, for thy honor. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word, for this hour in thy house, for thy help. For without thee, we can do nothing. Remember each one. Help also in teaching catechism. Bring us again here tonight. Lord, we beg thee in the forgiveness of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. O thou that ever saveth those who trust on thee estate, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid, let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy, full and free. Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.